welcome everyone to another episode of Weiss Thoughts. Just an analog man trying to make it in a digital world. Make sure you stop by the website, weissthoughts.com. Make sure you spell my name right, W-Y-C-E, weissthoughts.com. From there, you can listen to each and every episode of this podcast. Also, comment on each show as well. And while you're there, why not rate the podcast? I would appreciate that. Be honest. No need to stroke my ego, as it were. Can you say that? I don't know. 2021, can you say stroke my ego? I don't want to get in trouble. Also, you can subscribe on your favorite podcast provider. It's all at weissthoughts.com. Check out the blog and so much more at weissthoughts.com. Thanks for gathering yet again with me for another episode around the virtual campfire. So, what's on my mind? What are we going to talk about on this episode of Weiss Thoughts? Direction. What direction do you think your life is going in? And how to avoid misdirection, this time on Weiss Thoughts. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the program. Welcome to Weiss Thoughts. I am your host, Terry Weiss, and I thank you for dropping by the virtual campfire and spending some of your valuable time with me today. So, how you been? How's things going? Doing all right out there? I hope so. Since we last got together and spoke, I am... Those of you that reached out and have asked, thank you very much. I am healing nicely from my little injury that I had done to myself on Super Bowl Sunday, where I a sneeze caught me unaware and severely pulled a muscle in my back. You know, it's like the damnedest thing did it to me. That one really caught me unawares, I'll tell you. That caught me off guard. I couldn't believe that I did that. I was just like, of all the things, a sneeze, you know, to take you down. I was like, holy moly guacamole. So what else has been going on? I'm recovering quite nicely from that, thankfully, following the prescribed treatment, ice for the first couple days. We talked about that on a past podcast, you know, and then hitting it with the heating pad. Thank goodness for modern medicine and heating pads. Now, I didn't take any painkillers, though my wife kept going, why don't you take some acetaminophen or acetaminophen or blah, blah, blah. I try not to take any drugs as I could, you know. Excuse me. I try not to take any drugs if I can help it, honestly, if I really can. The only thing I'm on is, you know, and again, I know I don't have to share things like this with you, but, you know, I believe in being open and honest with my audience, and I think you appreciate that as well. I'm on a mild blood pressure medication. I have been for a few years, and even then the doctor tells me, hey, T, we can take you off that. You just got to, you know, drop a few pounds here. And that's been my battle, that's been my nemesis these past few years is, you know, I'll go up a few pounds and go down a few pounds, get on the right track, and then I fall off the wagon, as it were, and, you know, I hit the M&Ms pretty hard or the snacks. Or in my case, pasta is my faux pas, man. Pasta is my crutch. I am not Italian by any shape or the form that I know of in our lineage. Very, very small percentage that we found out from, 23andMe or 21 Beyond. I don't know, whatever that ancestry website is. A relative did it, and I figured, oh, okay. So, you know, my sister actually did it, and I kind of took some of the cues from her results. So I figure, you know, that's doggone close enough. And we're maybe 0.000025 of, you know, Italian lineage. But I'll tell you something, maybe in a past life, I don't know. because I love pasta. I love pizza. I love spaghetti. I love stuffed shells. I love lasagna. You know, I love fettuccine, Alfredo. I don't know. Maybe it's just I'm a carbaholic. I don't know what it is, but I love me a good pasta. Steak pizzola, stuff, you know, like I said, stuffed shells, stuffed peppers, you name it. Anything with pasta in it, I'm on board. Linguine and clam sauce. I'm just goulash. Oh my God, I love me a good goulash. How about you? You know, German style goulash or American. My wife had found this new recipe now since the pandemic hit, pizza casserole. Oh my God. Look up pizza casserole online. If you love pizza, try pizza casserole. Oh, I'm sure it's not that good for you, but oh, is it really good? Healing quite nicely from that, from the injury sustained on Super Bowl Sunday evening. No alcohol was involved, as I had mentioned. So, you know, that was just, it was a sneezing related incident, but for the first few days of that, oh my gosh, anytime I would like that, oh, it just felt like somebody was stabbing me in the side with a spear, I'll tell you. But thank you for those of you that reached out and had concerns and sent forth good wishes. I appreciate you emailing me from the website, both at weissthoughts.com and reaching out to me through the actual direct email address at weissthoughts@gmail.com. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. It was from a lot of you from the U.S. and some of you from Canada. And believe it or not, for some reason, this podcast is popular in India. I don't know why, but thank you, folks in India that are listening. We appreciate you very much. And all of us here at the Purple Bit Studios, and yours truly especially, thank you for listening around the globe. And there's some other select sparse countries as well, Mexico and a couple other places, because we do go worldwide. You can find us, you know, on any of your major podcast platform providers. I say that one 10 times fast. And again, you can subscribe right through the website at weissthoughts.com, no matter how you found us. If you got your favorite one, whether it be Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Deezer, just to name a few. I mean, there's Google Podcasts. Those are the big ones out there. Amazon Music, Amazon Podcast, and so on. So anyhow, I digress. So again, healing quite nicely. And again, thank you to all who reached out. I truly appreciate the fond well wishes and good thoughts and vibes. Definitely helps when you have some outside encouragement. Yeah, you get your family, but it's nice to have that outside encouragement as well. What else has been going on? Let's see. A lot of stuff going on in the studio here at the Purple Pit Studios. I got my new mug. I ordered from one of those places online where you can like send in a photograph and they design a mug for you and send it off to you. So I just for the heck of it, I got a mug. Nice design, Purple Pit Studios, you know, in the purple, you know, font that is kind of out there in your face on a black background. It came out really cool, I thought. Had one cup of tea out of it, washed it, and now it's on the studio desk here where it shall live its life because I don't want to ruin it. It's too cool looking. It's nice to look at while we're recording podcasts or music or what have you. So that's nice. Got that in. What else? Another couple things too. Been hitting the music pretty hard lately. I've had about 5 days off from my main source of income, which is not doing this. I derive no income from doing a podcast, nor did I get into doing podcasts to get income. And even the music that we make here, we make music as a labor of love. I don't look at it as a ego thing. Or to say, ooh, everybody that streams it or downloads our music or my music or other music we produce here, we're trying to make money from. That's not why we got into it. I mean, isn't it weird how you select a topic on the internet? Maybe you're looking up, I don't know, knitting. All of a sudden you get all these advertisements, how to make knitting, how to make $1 million in knitting. I am not scouring the internet for the next pyramid scheme on how to make my fortune. I don't mind working for it the old-fashioned way, I guess is the easiest way to say it. I don't mind putting in the work. So where was I going with all of this? Oh, so I've had 5 days off from my main source of income, which is in a customer service type oriented position in logistics that I work in. And with the pandemic and everything, my job has basically changed from an office job to now what's going to be a permanent virtual job out of one of the offices in my home, which is fine by me. I'm totally cool with that because I just close that part of the house off. And when I'm, you know, just like I did at the office, I compartmentalized. And when I left the office, same thing when I, you know, put down that headset and step away from that office desk and that computer that is derived just for that particular duty, I'm out of work. I leave work, man. And that's one thing I think we got to talk about too, maybe on this episode of the podcast, how to compartmentalize with your, you know, with direction so you can maintain focus and direction in your life. But I've had 5 days off from there. That's rapidly coming to a close here. As at the recording of this, I think I get one, you know, I'm on my last day here, and then I gotta hit the office here starting the next day here, the following day, and the phones and be available and what have you, which, hey, that's cool. But it was a nice time to recharge the batteries, spend some time with the better half, Mrs. T here, and also just to work in the studio, in the Purple Pit Studios, work on some musical technique, picked up the bass, really was jamming out on the bass and some equipment with the bass and that, and honing those skills or improving my understanding and skills, and even getting a couple more songs under my belt and what have you. So that was nice. What else? Oh, picked up didn't pick up yet. Hasn't really arrived yet, but we're waiting from Sweetwater. A new amplifier. You know, for those of you into music, for those of you who are not into music, this next couple minutes are going to be like, but anyhow, if you're into music or musical instruments and things like that, a lot of talk over the past year or so about these new Fender ToneMaster amplifiers. Now, just to give you a brief background for those of you who don't know, hey, you know, Terry, what is that? You know, there's such things in the music musical realm as these new amplifiers that are digital, okay, or, you know, they call them a regular amplifier, digital amplifier, plug it in, it's all circuitry. And then you have more purists out here, which I'm not a purist, but I'm sure you've heard the term tube amplifier. Depending on how old you may be, televisions used to have tubes in them, radios had tubes in them, even our first hi-fi stereos back in the, you know, the 60s, 50s, 60s, and 70s had tubes, little tubes in them, vacuum tubes, that they would use to produce sound and amplify sound and whatever. But then, you know, in the electronic age, when circuit boards and capacitors and all those things kind of, you know, really taking charge, and microprocessors and what have you, everything went over to digital amps or regular amplifier, you know, and they got away from tubes. But tube amplifiers are still very popular. Tube amplifiers in the music industry, whether it's for guitar, and they're mainly used for guitar and bass. I have seen some for keyboards and things like that. But PA systems are all, you know, electronic circuit board amps. But tube amplifiers, they came out and were kind of discovered by accident with musical instruments. I mean, they started way back in the 50s, 40s and 50s, and even the 60s, like the Beatles used what's called our Vox amps, AC-15s, AC-30s, and things like that. The thing about a tube amplifier, all right, is they can get loud. I mean, loud where your ears are ringing, bleeding, and your eyeballs are shaking and quivering, and your bones are rattling. However, they are heavy as hell, okay? They are, I mean, a 20 or 25-watt amplifier can weigh as much as 40 or 50 pounds because they have to use large transformers in them. It's, without going into electronics class, basically you need transformers in them to produce from the tube vacuums to, you know, take that sound, et cetera, and the transformers are heavy. The speakers are usually heavy in them, ceramic-based type speakers. That adds to the weight, plus you have to have a sturdy cabinet to put these in if you're doing a combo, or even like what's called a head where they separate the amplifier part, and then you have, you know, speaker cabinets, so you got two parts. Anyhow, long and the short of the matter, they're heavy, they're loud, but they're very serviceable. A lot of times, you know, you know, tubes will last for a number of years and that, you know, with proper care and handling. And you just pop a tube out, pop another one in. You have a qualified technician do what's called biasing the tube. You set the voltage on there, or I believe it's the voltage you set to a certain frequency. And, you know, so it can, you know, give you the best performance out of your tube amplifier. But the nice thing, and why purists in music love tube amplifiers, is for the simple fact of they produce a what's called a warm tone. They have a certain feel for them when you're playing like a guitar or a bass, especially like a guitar, electric guitars, obviously. And it just has a certain feel. Like if you strike a note hard with a pick, it has a different feel and a sound than if you pick the note softly. It's very dynamic. In other words, you don't use a compressor if you talk real low and everything, then it goes, and then you get real loud. There's a wide dynamic range, okay? And a lot of your early rock and roll songs, especially a lot of your stuff from the 60s and the 70s, there's a lot of dynamics. And you know, people playing music, especially like rock and roll and early, what we call now classic rock, they would, you know, there was really no pedals per se. It was plug your guitar straight into that Marshall amp or that Vox amp or that Fender amp and crank that son of a bitch and then use the volume and tone knob on your guitar to give you different tones and sounds and, you know, musical characteristics. Anyhow, where I'm getting in this long, long-winded explanation is, in the past year or so, Fender came up with a new type of digital modeling amp technology, okay, and it's called a Tone Master Deluxe Reverb, and they have one now called it, and they also released at the same time a Deluxe Twin Reverb. Now, the Tone Master Deluxe Reverb and the Twin Deluxe Reverb, they have their tube counterparts that have been around for decades. I mean, decades. Now, what Fender has done, and Fender has been on pretty much the forefront of what's called digital modeling amp technology, where they, you know, they get a computer and they take samples of different amplifiers. In most cases, when you think of a modeler amp, think of going to get a buffet, and you have boom a choice of everything, and you can have sample this, that, and the other thing. That's what kind of a digital modeling amplifier would give you in most cases. You could have like 10 or 20 different amplifier samples in there, you know, and you know, you got things like delays and choruses and different foot pedals for distortions and to produce sounds. And Fender was on the forefront of this technology early on. They had the things called G-Deck, and then they had the Fender Mustangs and all that. And it was all done with modeling circuitry and a snapshot of something. And they would put it into a lightweight package, you know, which would weigh half or sometimes 60 to 70% less than a tube amplifier. And you got a buffet of everything to offer. Great if you're just starting out learning guitar and you don't really know what sound you like and that. Excuse me. A little dry in the studio today, Mr. Producer. And what would happen is you'd get a buffet, a veritable plethora of sounds. Now, what Fender did with this in this latest offering from their studio is, and one of the knocks on modeling amplifiers, what's called solid state amplifiers, where you just have circuit boards, is that they're very stale sounding. In other words, there's not a lot of dynamic range. You turn up the volume, and whatever volume you're at full bore at that volume. There's no, you know, picking quietly, and then when you pick louder, it can break up into distortion for guitars and things like that. So a lot of your tube purists, and as I give the air quotes sign here in the studio, they love the tube, the mushy feel of a tube amplifier, because you get dynamics. It allows you to be more expressive, more creative, what have you, a more comfortable tone, a more pleasing tone, especially when you get like that classic rock type of tone. Think AC/DC. Think, you know, Led Zeppelin. Think early Joel Walsh, okay, with the James Gang and stuff like that. You know, Eagles stuff, you know, things of that nature. That just, that biting, thick, heavy, you know, crunch sound. Anyhow, Fender released something about over a year, almost 2 years ago now, when they started out with this end of 2018 and early into 2019. I think it was 2019 that they really had them at NAMM, called a Tone Master Deluxe and a Tone Master Deluxe Reverb. And what they did, instead of giving you 75, and again, this is no commercial for Fender, I'm not sponsored, I'm just kind of giving a long-winded update of this new amplifier that I'm waiting to arrive that I got from Sweetwater. I got the Tone Master Deluxe Reverb. Now, what it does is, Fender took these two types of amps, okay, these two offerings, the Tone Master Deluxe, or the Deluxe Reverb, and a Deluxe Twin Reverb, which basically is a Deluxe Reverb with two 10-inch speakers, where the Tone, the Deluxe Reverb had one 12-inch speaker in it, a combination guitar amp. And instead of giving you 50 amps and 50, you know, delay pedals and 50 fuzz pedals and 50 chorus pedals and a compressor, you know, and giving you everything under the sun, they said, we want to make a Deluxe Reverb sound and put all that processing power with the microprocessor and computers and that, and expand upon that and get as close as we can, I guess, to creating an artificial intelligent type of amp that would sound and respond and feel and play like a tube amp and be dynamic as a tube amp. So initially these were released in like 2019. Here we are in 2021. And I looked at them. I'm like, interesting. You listen to the YouTube videos and watch the YouTube videos and read all the, you know, the media hype and et cetera, et cetera. And as more of these and more started being sold, I started reading reviews. Now, here's the thing. You can get a actual tube amp, a Deluxe Reverb reissue, they call it, the 65 reissue, which weighs about almost 50 pounds. And it's a tube amp, but it costs about, I would say about $1,200 to $1,400, right? Depending on where you buy it from. And it's heavy and it has tubes, so it needs to be serviced on a fairly consistent basis. Okay. It's bulky, but it sounds good, but it gets loud. There's really no way to turn, like if you're playing in a small club, an open mic night, you know, jamming with your friends, you know, you get that thing past four and, you know, people are just plugging their ears, you know, and things. So it's meant to be played wide open, like a lot of tube amps are, to get those tubes, what's called cooking and heating up. So with the Tone Master Series Deluxe Reverb, they just, you know, inundated with technology from what I've read and sampled and resampled and, you know, the algorithm in there. They're using a, I don't know if it's a quad-core processor inside the thing on the circuit board, this, that, and the other thing. They got this thing with a special speaker in it, a cabinet. I mean, side by side, they look identical except for the little Tone Master thing down in the lower right corner on the, you know, the digital one. But it only weighs 23 pounds. So it's literally, you could pick it up with one hand and swing it around. And, you know, I mean, it's less than a bag of cat litter, okay? And they're pretty darn close. You know, these came out more and more people started buying them. I started seeing people, just everyday people. I try not to take the magazine's reviews and everyone's reviews of something when it comes out. I wait until you and I, you know, the general public, start reviewing something and get a consensus of, is this a piece of crap or is it halfway decent? And I let it go for about a year and a half. I almost pulled the trigger on it. But the digital version, okay, like I said, the tube version of a 65 Deluxe Reverb reissue amp is between $1,200 and $1,400 plus tax. The digital version of this, the Tone Master Series, they're about $900 plus tax. So you're saving about $300-$400. But you're getting reliability because really, solid state amps, I mean, unless you pour beer into them or toss it off a cliff, they don't break. They tend to last almost forever, okay? Unless there's some kind of major catastrophic failure. The other thing is that you don't have to worry about retubing it every, you know, couple, 3 years or whatever, biasing tubes, this and that. There's not a lot of heat thrown off of it because it's all solid state technology. And they are able to incorporate some other features that you can't get in a tube amp, such as a direct line out to a mixing board or a PA system that you can use it with a separate volume control, and you can use the speaker in it. Anyway, I know. I've gone on like over 10 minutes on this, Mr. Producer. So anyway, I finally pulled the trigger. I got a good deal from Sweetwater on one through my sales advisor there, Dave. Thank you, Mr. Dave. And I'm waiting ever so impatiently for it to arrive because I want to have one in my hot little hands to try out here at the Purple Pit Studios. If I don't like it, I'm going to send it back. You know, we still got the Marshalls in here and that, you know, the Marshall heads and stuff like that. But those are about 30 some pounds plus cabinets. I still love the sound of those, but I kind of wanted a Fender amp too. So I pulled the trigger on one, you know, after procrastinating for over a year. So that's excitement there I'm waiting for. So that's kind of what I'm doing, what's going on here with me. But let's get to the long introduction of what the heck I was going to talk about today. Direction in your life. And how do you feel now that we're almost a year into the pandemic here in the United States. I know I talk a lot on the podcast about direction, motivation, overcoming obstacles, and I try and take it from my point of view, but project it out there to you folks, you guys as well, and maybe you can just learn from my mistakes, learn from my successes, my failures, and I take a lot of feedback from you guys as well, too. I mean, you folks provide me a lot of feedback when you email me at weisthoughts@gmail.com or through the website at weisthoughts.com. I get a lot of feedback, and believe me, I take that to heart, and I've gotten some great suggestions, actually, from quite a few of you out there about, you know, whether it's ways to stay motivated, things to do, you know, to help, whether it's, you know, on my weight loss journey, you know, my better lifestyle journey, I should call it, I guess, and conflict resolution, you know, reframing ways to think of things and that. And I take a lot of that to heart. I really do. And I read every email that comes in, good, bad, or indifferent. But what do you feel? How would you say your life is going? I am still at that crossroads. I'm excited for what the future holds, but I'm cautiously optimistic, especially what I see this new administration, our leadership doing in this country. And what really threw me for a sunder, threw me for a whirl, is the pandemic that started in 2020, in March in the United States here, last March. And I know it did a lot of you as well, all right? I mean, let's be honest. I'm not coming from this from the soapbox of, man, you know, feel sorry for me, or, you know, I'm a special case. There's millions of us out there, not only in the United States, but throughout the world, that we were, you know, just kind of chugging and lugging along in our lives, driving our little happy car down the happy highway. And then all of a sudden, the pandemic came to your shores, and it was like, holy crap, everything just right to a grinding halt. And I learned a lot of things, and I'm still learning. But I've come to a lot of realizations. One, and again, your mileage, as they say, may vary on this, but these are some realizations I've come to as far as direction in my life and some of the things I've learned. One, the government has way too much power, in my country at least. I don't know about yours, but way too much power to tell us what to do, how to do, and when to do it. I know. When I make that statement, that, you know, a lot of you out there are going, but Terry, you know, it's a national health crisis. We got to stop the spread. We got to protect the vulnerable. We've got to protect the elderly. We've got to protect those that don't know any better. We got to protect the stupid people. Folks, we've been on this planet for tens of thousands of years. Pandemics have always come and gone. Natural disasters have always come and gone. I think a good majority of us, or I feel that a good majority of us have enough common sense to realize if there's a health crisis, a pandemic going on, you don't walk out there and just, you know, somebody's hacking up a lung and coughing, walk up to them and give them a nice big fat wet kiss. I would think most of us know to wash our hands. I would hope so. I think I can speak for a lot of us and say we know, you know, what to do to protect ourselves from disease. And, you know, granted, it was a little scary, and I was scared too initially. I'll admit it. I was afraid because this was like, wow, what is this? Is this thing going to kill if you get it, et cetera, et cetera. Now, I'm going to share something with you. As of the airing of this podcast, all right, as I record this in the Purple Pit Studios, I found out yesterday that my father tested positive for COVID-19. Now, Mr. T there, T Senior, he's not a young man. My father is 77 years old. He has a couple core morbidities. He is, and again, I'm just sharing with you. I'm not saying this to put him down or garnish pity, but he is overweight, almost morbidly so. He has some heart issues that he takes medication for. He's had, you know, a couple mild heart attacks, well, one major one and one mild one. And that was, you know, back when he was in his, you know, about 65 or so. survived, obviously, no problem, you know, no long-lasting effects from that, but hasn't unfortunately learned his lesson about trying to live a little more healthy lifestyle. Now, my father doesn't exercise. I've been on him for that for years, even when he was in his 50s. Dad, you got to just take a walk with mom around the block, anything, but, you know, the old adage, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. I still love my parents. God bless them. I love them. I want a long life for them, but I just found out yesterday that, you know, he tested positive. I checked in with mom and dad today. He has a fever about 101, but he's breathing well and everything. He's doing his thing. He's just in the house with mom. Now, my mom's there. My sister's there with her kids, kind of riding everything out, but now they all have to get tested. You know, my mom has a couple core mobilities. You know, she has, you know, some health issues, emphysema being one of them, so she has to be extremely careful as well. Am I panicking, running down the streets, going, oh my God, it's the end, I can't. No. Logic, common sense, faith, and due diligence, I think we'll get through. And, you know, however it will end up, it will end up. I want, obviously, the best outcome, you know, full recovery for my family. But for right now, my father has it. You know, they're scheduling the tests for everyone else in my household. So that being said, you know, direction is, you know, thinking, oh my goodness, what's going to happen here? But, you know, that expression that the people go around and say now, almost, it is what it is. No, I modify it. You've heard me say it before. It is how it is. And we will deal with it accordingly. Now, getting back to the subject at hand, talking about, you know, the pandemic has definitely made me think about my direction in life. Because, again, the first thing I learned is that government has way too much power, way too much control over our lives. I think we all have enough common sense to know how to protect ourselves and our family and to do the right thing. Now you're going to get some clowns out there, all right, some wing nuts that don't care and don't care about others and, you know, wouldn't do things to protect each other, and they just don't care. They have a wish of me first and heck with you. And there's a good segment of the population out there that those of you that are selfish and self-righteous and narcissistic or, you know, I would say even bordering on sociopaths out there. And, you know, you've been created by your parents or the media or whatever. But as the pandemic, you know, raged on back in the early spring, back in 2020, I saw a cultural shift in the society, and it just really gave me a lot of reflective thought on how quickly a lot of us just gave up our rights. And I don't want to turn this into a political rant, mind you. I do enough of those. It's just, it's scary how quickly we let non-medical people tell us what to do, how to do it, when to do it. And what I'm talking about is your local state governors, people without medical degrees who say they were listening to the science, but the science is all over the place on this. You don't know what to believe in the age of misinformation, and that's what I call the age we're living in. It's the age of misinformation and disinformation, D-I-S, as in not accurate. A lot of it was really quickly twisted for political gains and what have you. We know how that saga raged on, excuse me, over the past year. And circling back around, as our new White House press secretary is saying, we'll circle back on that. Well, circling back around to the topic of direction, it really threw off my direction, because here I was going in one spot, you know, one direction in my life and trying to focus on certain things, like a lot of you out there, and all of a sudden the brakes were put on, and I kind of had to, you know, put the car in idle, readjust, and think, all right, what do we do now? So I, like many of you out there, you know, just took a momentary month or two or three of pause and said, you know, what the heck's going on here? It gave me a lot of time to think, obviously, with being homebound with the forced lockdowns here in New York State in the United States of America. And it helped open up some realizations. And if you listen to past episodes of Weiss Thoughts, you can find them on any podcast provider. when this whole thing started. That's when this podcast was basically born, was last March/April of 2020. And the theme and things have changed. You know, during the nice weather, I did a lot of the podcast out on the go when I was walking with portable equipment, mainly being my phone. Thank goodness for the days of good cellular microphones and that, and just kind of gave it a little oomph in post-production, best we could. But a lot of that production in the earliest stage of the podcast was done on the go, on the fly, when I was walking, just, you know, sharing thoughts with you. And it grew and grew and grew, the podcast, and kept growing and growing and growing. And I'm thankful for that, because I found it very cathartic to have an outlet just to, you know, some people can't do what we do as podcasters. And I'm not saying that to be boastful, mind you. I'm not saying that to say, oh, look at me, look at me. I'm just saying a lot of people can't just sit in front of a microphone and just express their thoughts into thin air. Because basically, you know, you're listening to this now. We're not sitting across from each other, but I'm in my mind able to just kind of visualize me talking to you on the other side of this microphone and expressing how I, you know, how I feel, what I think. Some people can't do that. And that's not a detriment to them. It's just some people don't have a knack for that. You know, some people are great at, you know, my wife said I could talk to probably no one for the rest of my life as if people are there. It's just a knack I have. Or sometimes, as she tells me, I just never shut the hell up. So she says, you know, seems like I'm quietest when I'm sleeping. But that being said, however, again, you know, circling back around, my direction was abruptly halted. And like a lot of you out there, I had to refocus. I had to really stop and think, what are my priorities? And I dropped a few of them that I thought were priorities and really were just on a want list or a wish list. And what I focused on was my family, obviously. My determination to, you know, be a better human being as best as I can be, but also to know that, you know what, this is my life. And I am not going to let some entity, some government agency, some other outside force direct my life, whether it be an advertising agency, a political figure, what have you, a movie star, you know, a rock star, a musician, whatever. Ultimately, my thoughts are my own. My life is my own. And whatever I make of it, it's all on me. And at the end of the day, folks, just like you, whatever you make or don't make of your life, it's all on you. And there's certain segments of our society that cry, boo-hoo, poor me, wah-wah-wah, give me. I had a poor start in life. I was born too rich. I was born too poor. I was born too black. I was born too white. I was born too green. I was born too blue. I was born too fat, too short, too tall, too skinny. At the end of the day, my friend, what your life becomes, what your life is ultimately all your responsibility. And I know that may hurt for a lot of you. That may sting for a lot of you. But I am at a place where I don't care what color your skin is. I don't care what your circle of influence is. I don't care how rich you are, how poor you are, what neighborhood you live in, what country you live in. You're either a good person or you're a piece of garbage. Personal responsibility is something that a lot of us as human beings have lost our direction in. It's up to each and every individual. And I've kind of touched on this, danced around this topic since the start of this podcast last year. And I've mentioned it here and there. And we've done a few segments on certain aspects of it. But my direction being halted, as it were, last March in the United States when the great pandemic, COVID pandemic, started and hit the shores of the USA, really gave me moments of pause. What do I want to accomplish? What do I want to do? What direction do I want my life to go and others around me that are along for the ride with me? Who do I want to pursue that direction with? And it really made me think and start really diving into some hard choices and contemplating some hard choices in life. And I, like many of you, had found that I was making a lot of compromises just to to go along to get along, or get along to go along, as it were. And I started shedding some of those people from my life and found, you know, I found that, you know what, I really don't care for these people. I don't care for this way of thinking. I don't care for this, you know, ideas that this group of people is putting forth, or these people, certain people I was hanging around with. And I just started shedding, just kind of shaving ever so slightly, ever so gently and respectfully, though, these people out of my life. And it's really helped. You know, it was painful at first. It's like, you know, it's like anything. It's like quitting smoking, or, you know, putting down the extra chocolate cake piece. It's painful at first, but you do it gradually. You know, I mean, as they say, whoever they are, Rome wasn't built in a day. You've got to do it in stages. You've got to do it, at least for me, what I've found is you do it incrementally. And your direction will start, you know, moving ever so slightly. I think a mistake that I had made in the past, I know, and I hear of others, and I've heard of others, they do, is they just try and make that complete 180 turn, you know, stop on a dime, turn the car around, go the other way. Usually, not all the time, mind you, but usually that is a recipe for failure. I have found what works for me is small little adjustments. Getting up a little earlier in the morning, even if it's a half hour earlier than you normally do. Now, granted, there's some days where I still sleep in and laze. These past, you know, 5 days of my first vacation this year, I slept in quite a bit, stayed up quite a bit later than I should. You're allowed to enjoy yourself here and there, okay? Everything in moderation being, I swear, but you got to allow yourself a little bit of enjoyment. But just little adjustments. You know, looking at who do you want to be as a person? What goals do you just want to accomplish? What direction do you want to head with your life? Because, folks, I've mentioned it hundreds of times over the podcast thus far. We're only here for a finite amount of time. And in the span of eternity, it's like nanosecond. It's like maybe 10 clicks, 10 seconds on your watch is usually the span of a human life. If you're lucky enough to live to a ripe old age, you know, in the eons of history. And honestly, hundreds of years from now, people are probably not going to know your name unless you, you know, cure some disease or do something that you're in history books or databases for eons to come. But me, like you, we're just going to be not even a grain of sand on a big beach in the end. And I'm not saying this to depress you, okay? I'm just saying, enjoy your life. Make it count. Don't go through life being a jerk. You know, not to, oh, I'm going to climb to the top of the hill and whoever I have to step on to get there, hey, well, that's their problem, not mine. No. Check your direction. Really assess your direction. And when you get sidetracked, you know, because life is going to throw stuff at you, you know, and it's very disingenuous, I feel, to sit down and plan your life. All right, I'm going to be born, I'm going to graduate high school, then I'm going to go to college, and then after this college, I'm going to go to graduate school, and then I'm going to get this job, and I'm going to have 2.5 kids, you know, and a dog and a cat, you know, and a four-bedroom, three-bath home in the suburbs, and we're going to have two cars and a boat and a summer home. It's nice to have a want list, you know, a to-do list, as it were, but you got to be malleable, pliable, as, you know, Bruce Lee would say, and I mention him a lot on this show, be like water. Be willing to bend and shape and adjust and refocus and, you know, be able to bend around that curve or, you know, go down that other hill if need be. But enjoy the ride along the way. Enjoy the direction. You can do things to plan for the direction you want to go in, and there's people to help you along the way. And the trick is, for myself, and I'm sure like many of you, is finding the people that will help you in your direction. You know, whether it be friends, family, lovers, what have you, acquaintances. But the pandemic has really made me refocus on direction in my life. And being middle-aged, you know, I realize now I probably have got about this maybe less years in front of me than I have behind me. You know, I'm a little bit mid-middle age, unless I live to be 100 and something. However, enjoy the ride. I think the more I gain in years, the more I'm enjoying each day and trying to look for little things, not just superficial things, but little things to be thankful for in the, when I'm heading down in my direction down the road. You know, another thing too is I found out music is really important to me, and I had pushed it aside for many years of my life just out of fear, just out of laziness, just out of being a perpetual procrastinator, you know. And I just said, you know what? No, I'm pursuing the music thing. And it doesn't matter. I've played in front of 2 people, and I've played in front of hundreds of people, okay? And maybe someday I'll play for thousands. If not, that's all right. If I don't ever play in front of anyone again, and I only play in the studio here and release things on the internet, even if I don't release things on the internet through, you know, iTunes and Spotify and Google Music and all that, if I don't produce, if I only do it for my own self-gratification to listen to in the car or the flying car or whatever, you know, is to become, it's something I enjoy. And there's certain things I've always wanted to learn how to do, so I'm doing it. You know, and I encourage my wife too, you know, get out there. I try and push her a little bit. You know, if you have a hobby, if you want to do things, my wife actually has become a pretty good web designer, believe it or not, throughout the pandemic and even beforehand, just been picking up the knowledge on her own. Now she's getting some independent work as a web designer. She never went to formal school for it. She learned how to use programs and certain things and, you know, learn what works and what doesn't just by the school of hard knocks, as they say, the street smarts. And she's acquired now another skill, which she enjoys doing. And it, as a bonus, it produces income for us. You know, I kind of feel bad for my wife in a way because she loves to go out and do things. You know, we love to travel, you know, go to different places and see things, museums and campsites. Haven't been able to do that in a year. And I know she's chomping at the bit to go. She would always go a lot of times in the past with our children. I was more of a homebody. But I was starting to come out of my shell more, but I was more of a homebody. To me, to go into the woods is like, eh, whatever, you know. Oh, look at that building. Wow, cool, whatever. But now I have a newfound appreciation for it, and I was starting to come out of my shell at the end of 2019, and especially in 2020, doing more things, playing more live music shows, more open mics with the gentleman, the group of guys I get together with, and there's another guy, you know, another guy and his wife and that I was... We were collaborating on music and things, and more doors were opening up, more outdoor gigs were going to open up and things like that in 2020, but then they got abruptly shut down. And I sat back and said, wow, I guess the universe doesn't want me to come out of my house more. But we're all in that same boat. But what I'm saying is my direction, you know, was sidetracked, but the pandemic gave me a blessing in disguise out of this mayhem, in helping define what direction I want to go with my life. It also helped me to realize that you have to be open to bumps in the road, curves in the stream, whatever, storms in the sunny days of your life. And there's a lot of talk on the news and the internet, or as much stock as I put in the news and the internet. No, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I just have a feeling there is an agenda there, underlying agenda. But that being said, there's a lot of talk now, especially in the past couple months, about mental health when it comes to like the children, because they're being homeschooled and they're not being able to socialize, and mental health for adults, and, you know, being kind of caged like mice in a big, you know, a big tank and big, you know, big cage that we have all been in the U.S. here the past year for the most part, not all parts of the country, but certain parts of the country. We've been restricted. Our freedom has been restricted. But it's learning how to deal with those restrictions, how to overcome them, and to realize that we, you know, they can take away our freedom of speech. They can take away our right to travel across state lines. They can take away our, you know, rights to go out of the home. But they can never take away what's in your mind. Don't let them into your head. And I feel that we must, I don't want to use the word fight for our freedoms and that. We must be aware of our freedoms that we were given in our Constitution of the United States and the Bill of Rights. We need to be more aware of them. We need to hold those elected officials more accountable for them. Okay, I'll use that terminology because there's a lot of politically charged language and censorship going on the internet nowadays, and I don't want to be flagged or banned or be seen as being part of the problem. Isn't it weird that when you have an opinion that's different to the social justice warrior mob or the Carls and the Karens of the world, that all of a sudden you're looked at as an agitator? I mean, it's the new McCarthyism for the modern age. We had the McCarthy thing back in the 50s, and it's kind of come full circle. History repeating itself, huh? And if you don't know what McCarthyism is, look it up in 1950s. Just look up McCarthyism in the 1950s and the censorship of Hollywood and ostracizing of people with different opinions, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, you see it in cancel culture and things like that. Again, all trying to alter your direction because it may be different from the woke mob, as it were. But I think it's incumbent upon each and every one of us to kind of really have an honest heart-to-heart talk with ourselves. Don't rely on anybody else. Have an honest heart-to-heart talk with yourself and think, what is my direction? Where do I want my life to go? And I know you get these self-help gurus out there and these life coaches and all these other snazzy, you know, terms that people put on themselves. Folks, you really don't need a life coach, in my humble opinion. You're your own best life coach, really, honestly. No matter how many mistakes you've made, no matter how many times you've screwed up, no matter how many times you've been fired from a job or how many times you've fallen off the wagon, let's say if you have a drinking issue or a drug issue, honestly, there's things out there. Yes, get some help. But change always begins with one person, and that's the person that's staring back at you when you look into a mirror. You can have a life coach. You could have two life coaches and a mentor and a counselor and a religious, you know, spiritual leader, and, you know, read 75 books and listen to 100 books on audio, you know, listen to audiobooks on Audible and all that all the time. Unless you're willing to put that one foot metaphorically in front of the other and start and make changes in your own psychological mind, in your own mental, you know, well-being, and do things for yourself, nothing's ever going to stick. And again, I'm not trying to preach at you. I'm just speaking from my own experience, because I've had quite a few times in my life, in my 20s, I am going to do this and change. And I would change for a while, you know, a few months, in some cases, a year or so. And then I would slide back into the old habits because it felt comfortable. It felt like a warm, cozy blanket to slide back into those old destructive habits. And my direction would go, you know, it'd be like a skipping record, you know. You know, it'd be skipping, skipping, and then, oh, right back into that comfortable groove, you know. And the pandemic, the COVID pandemic that started in 2020 has really opened my eyes. And I fall back. I still slide back to a couple old bad habits, a couple rushed judgments, a couple old, not so productive ways of thinking. And what I find works for me is when that happens to me, I sit and think about the first 2 months of the pandemic. I think back to March and April 2020, the fear I felt, the uncertainty. And then when we started getting into May and June, and I started that time alone, those meditative walks, which kind of opened me up, that just time by myself, away from the wife, you know, just throw on the headphones, put on some relaxing music, talk with you during the podcast, what have you. And I started letting out some pent-up emotions and feelings and questions I had in my mind. You know, it's a cleansing process. It's like, you know, it's like a internal taking out of the trash, or internal spring cleaning or fall cleaning or internal cleansing. An internal cleansing, mental internal cleansing. Maybe MIC, M-I-C, mental internal cleansing. I should copyright Terry Weiss, 2021, all rights reserved. But I started doing a mental internal cleansing, and it didn't happen overnight. It didn't even happen over a span of days or weeks. It took months, and it's still ongoing in some form or another. And it's helpful. It really is. It helps me keep focus on the direction I want my life to go. You know, I know it's an old cliche to say, but, you know, and you've seen it in movies or heard about it in TV shows, you know, at the end of the day, when you're on your deathbed, you don't want to have no regrets. That's kind of my goal. I want to try and do everything I've ever wanted to do, ever thought about doing. Now, I'm not going to play, you know, quarterback for the Buffalo Bills or quarterback for, you know, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I'm not going to play, you know, infield for the Yankees or, you know, center for the Buffalo Sabres hockey teams. I'm a little past my prime when it comes to that. I mean, you have to be realistic depending on the state you are in your life or your expectations. But there's a lot we can do as human beings, no matter what your age. You know, if you're so artistically inclined and you want to, you know, you've always thought about, maybe I wonder if I could write a book. Start by writing a short story. Start by writing poetry to get you started. Just write down lines. You know, I never thought I could write songs until I started doing it. And yeah, the first ones were awful. Never even produced. But you get better at it as you do it, the more you do something. Just like when you learn to walk. You didn't just get up. You know, mom and dad propped you up and you didn't just stand and start taking off, running across the, you know, the living room. You fell down. You bumped your knees. You cried. You whined. There was some, you know, struggle there. But the direction was you wanted to learn to walk. Mom and dad were help you learn to walk. I mean, you can same thing with anything. One of the direction I want to go with my life is I want to learn more musical instruments. You know, I mean, I can play drums competently. I'm a decent drummer. I can keep time. I know what different time signatures are. I can't read music. And honestly, I have really no desire to read music. I've tried throughout my lifetime to try and read music. It just doesn't work for me. It's just something maybe I guess I'm not prepared. If I must be brutally honest, I'm not prepared to fully dedicate myself to sight reading music because I don't feel it's necessary to get out of playing music what I want to do. So I am not prepared to put in the work to learn how to sight read and learn music. However, I'm prepared to learn what needs to be done to learn to play the bass guitar, you know, the acoustic electric guitar, and I'm doing that. You know, piano, keyboards, I'm doing that. Harmonica and a few other things. I mean, I have no desire to play the saxophone or the trumpet or the flute, you know, or the violin or anything like that. Those are the core instruments I'd like to learn how to play, you know. And so that's the direction for my hobbies and stuff. The other thing, you know, I want my relationships to be more sound. I want people to know exactly how I feel. I try not to leave things unsaid. And when things bother me, instead of holding it inside until it blows up into a big fight, I just, if it obviously is appropriate time and place, I let it out in the most productive manner I can. Now, I'm not perfect at that, but I try and formulate my thoughts. I try to express them to the person or persons I may be displeased with in a manner which they can know why and try to work towards an amicable solution. I'll tell you another thing I've learned during this pandemic is that your job is not your be-all, end-all. I am grateful for employment. I am. I am grateful for the place I work at. I am grateful for the fact that their checks don't bounce, metaphorically speaking, because let's face it, who really gets a check anymore? I don't know about you out there, but mine's electronically deposited. I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for shelter. I am grateful to be employed now, but my job is not my be-all, end-all. My direction in life, again, is my family first, my well-being. I think I've mentioned it in past podcasts. My priorities or my direction, my priorities are the following. Family, God, family, me, my career, my employment, and then everything else. Those are how I list my direction priorities. You know, I know some people, and I still know some people that are very good friends, that all they care about is that they think their life is their career. It's not your life. And I would hope they would know that. And I've said it to them in comforting, loving ways. You know, hey, man, this job is not your career. You know, this is not your life. Something happens tomorrow. You know, while you might have some friends at your job, you know, some work friends, colleagues, and maybe even go as far as you might go out and share a beer or drink with them or whatever outside of work, but they're generally not really truly your friends. And I don't say that with any disrespect or those of you that have close work relationship with friends, but there's so much more important things in life. At the end of the day, you got to find what direction works best for you. And don't be discouraged if your direction gets a little clouded. It happens to all of us. It all does. It does. I guess the main thing is to, you know, keep the faith. Keep plodding along. But really, think about it. Your direction in life. What direction do you want your life to head in? Are you heading in the direction that you thought you would even a year ago? I know mine has changed. Not radically, but it's done a pretty good turn. I'd say about a 45-degree change in my direction. Talked a lot about direction on the podcast today, a lot about me and what's going on at the Purple Pit Studio, because it is, of course, Weiss Thoughts. So, you know, got to talk about me. Don't forget to stop by the website, weissthoughts.com. Make sure you spell my name right, W-Y-C-E, weissthoughts.com. Leave a comment on the podcast, and I always enjoy getting your emails. You can email me directly at weissthoughts@gmail.com, or just submit it through the website form. Or if you want to leave me a voicemail, click on the microphone in the lower right-hand corner of the website. You should see it there, and you can leave me a voicemail. And please rate the podcast. I appreciate ratings. It helps get the word out about the show. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell your neighbors, tell a loved one about Weiss Thoughts, the podcast, and the website, weissthoughts.com. Until we meet up again, my friends, be good to yourself. Be good to others. Take care. God bless.